Hey everybody, how we doing at home? I'd like to start by telling you a story about something that happened, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago now. So I'm pushing an air hockey table across the parking lot over at the Firehouse campus. Don't ask me why I was doing that. I don't remember that. That's not one of the details that's important to this story. But that's what I was doing, pushing an air hockey table across the parking lot at the Firehouse campus, when all of a sudden I hear the unmistakable and chill-inducing sound of squealing brakes, the scream of locked-up wheels burning rubber against the pavement out on Cleveland Road. And I looked up just in time to see the SUV jump the curb, smash through the post that holds up the eastbound stoplight at the corner of Cleveland and Swanson Road. Now, those posts, those stoplight posts, are held up with shallow bolts that are designed to break and give way when there's a significant impact. That way, the stoplight falls down instead of crushing the car. And that's exactly what happened. The way it was supposed to happen, the post broke loose, and the whole apparatus came crashing down in a way that was much calmer and more controlled than what you would expect. The SUV's brakes remained engaged as the tires squealed against the pavement, okay, and went through the intersection, finally came to a stop in some guy's yard. From where I was standing, across the street in the parking lot at the Firehouse campus, I could hear the air begin to escape from the tires of the SUV, and now I'm running, right? I'm running out there to make sure everyone's okay, to try to figure out what happened. I had told someone to call 911. At this point in my life, I had been CPR certified for like 12 years, and I'd never gotten to use it. I'd been waiting more than a decade for a moment like this. Now, spoiler alert, no one needed CPR. I get this woman out of her car. She's scared. She's confused. She doesn't know what happened. I don't know what happened. She doesn't remember what happened leading up to this crash. It's very strange. A few minutes go by, the police show up. They start asking the woman questions, and she can't answer the questions because she says she doesn't know what happened. She doesn't remember. She keeps asking, is anybody hurt? Is anybody hurt? And we're telling her, no one's hurt. You didn't hit anyone. It's just you and that stoplight in this guy's yard. His yard's hurt pretty bad, but his yard will recover. The woman can't answer any of the questions, so the police officer comes to me and asks if I witnessed the accident. I did. And so he asked me about it. And what I did next was I reached into my pocket and I pulled out my Indiana State law book. And I started explaining to this officer the different various driving infractions that could have possibly been committed according to the guidebook, the various penalties suggested by the state of Indiana for the various infractions that might have been committed, right? That's what you would do, right? No. I'm like, look, officer, page 7, paragraph 3, subclause 9B specifically states that distracted driving is a Class C misdemeanor. Right here, officer. No, that's not what happened. The officer did not care about my knowledge of the rule book, didn't care about my interpretation of the law as I understood it. That's not the job of the witness, right? The job of the witness is much easier than all of that. The job of the witness is to tell someone else what they saw, what they heard, what they smelled, what they experienced. So when the officer asked me what happened, I recollected to the best of my ability everything I could remember. I heard it first. When I looked up and I saw the tail end of this thing happen, I got over here as fast as I could. I talked to the woman, and let me tell you what she said. So this morning, we're talking about the spiritual practice of witnessing. Witnessing, when we hear it in church, sounds like a big, complicated, very churchy word. But it's not. In fact, it's as easy as what I experienced that day in the Firehouse parking lot. Witnessing, let me tell you what I've seen. Let me tell you what I've experienced. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Paul shares his testimony. And testimony, that's another churchy-sounding word, but it's also one of those legal words that's easier to understand as a legal word, right? The, The witness is the person who tells what they saw. The testimony is the thing that they say. The witness is the person who tells what they saw. The testimony is just the thing that they say. So in Acts chapter 22, Paul, who is a witness essentially to his very own life, shares his testimony. It's not a complicated idea. There are people gathered, and Paul tells them what happened to him in his own life. He begins, "About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice ask me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. My companions saw this light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. 'What shall I do, Lord?' I asked. 'Get up,' the Lord said, 'and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do.' My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of that light had blinded me. Then a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. And then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on the name of Jesus.' When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. 'Quick,' he said, 'leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me.' 'Lord,' I replied, 'these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And you should know that when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, it was me. Like, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" Now, this is Paul's testimony, and it's an extraordinary testimony. And I know I read this, and I get to thinking that there's no way my testimony can compare with that testimony. But you can't afford to buy into that lie. Your story matters as much as anyone else's story. Your witness matters as much as anyone else's witness. God gave you your life, your story, and your witness to be shared, because your life, your story, and your witness have the power to change someone else's life. You see, that lie that your story isn't worth sharing, that's not something that comes from God. That comes from Satan, who learned a long time ago that it's hard to make us speak out against God, but it's just as good and way easier to make us silent about him. We can't be deceived by this. What you have experienced, what you have seen, what you have heard, how God has been a part of your life gives you a story that matters. And your story may not be the next script of a Hollywood blockbuster movie, but your story has the power to change someone's life. I guarantee it, if you're willing to share it. I wonder if you've paused during the last 2 weeks to think about what remarkable times we're living in. This thing that we're in the middle of, this pandemic, this thing is historic. It's going to reshape parts of our world and parts of our lives forever. This is going to be in history books. Like, we're going to talk to our grandkids about this. For decades, people might ask us, "What did you do during the coronavirus pandemic of 2020? For the rest of our lives, simply by virtue of existing during this thing, people are going to ask us questions about it, and we're going to have an opportunity to share our witness. We'll be able to say, yeah, we stayed home. We did what we were supposed to do to slow the spread of this virus, but you know what else we did? We doubled down on our efforts to feed the hungry. As unemployment and underemployment leapt to near record levels, we jumped in to help anywhere and everywhere that we could. Let me tell you, the coolest thing was our church saw out its mission and vision even when it seemed impossible and even when most of us couldn't leave our homes. When they ask us about this, we are going to have a powerful testimony to share about the power and faith of the church and the incredible depth and compassion we are filled with by the Spirit of God. In fact, right now, where you sit in your living room, in your bedroom, at your kitchen table, some of you have these testimonies already. You're writing new ones every day. Your testimony that you share does not have to be this long, drawn-out story about how you got saved. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, maybe that's the story someone needs to hear. Maybe that's the story that someday you'll be called to share. But what God's doing in your life right now matters too. I want to share with you a testimony I heard this week. It is incredibly brief. It is not an epic story. It goes like this, and the whole testimony is just one sentence long. Last week, I was filled with anxiety about this COVID-19 thing, but the Wednesday night online Bible study brought me a sense of peace and calm I hadn't felt in days. And that's it. That's the whole testimony. And there are hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people who need to hear that testimony. There are millions of people whose lives could be changed by that testimony. There are millions of people who have stayed away from churches their whole life but are filled with this anxiety about this coronavirus and might be for the first time willing to give this Jesus thing a chance because of it. And our job is not a complicated one. We are witnesses. We just tell people what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've experienced it. We're like product reviewers on Amazon, and we have the divine responsibility to tell people about this thing that has absolutely changed our life. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way: God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. There's something else that comes along with being a witness. A witness has the responsibility and the duty to share. As a witness to that car accident on Cleveland Road, I was legally required to tell what I saw, and I could have been compelled under threat of incarceration to tell them what I saw if I refused to do it. As a follower of Jesus, you are carrying the message of forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus. As a witness to the divine power of God, we're required to share that message whenever and however you can. Now, let me tell you, right about now, you're probably hearing a nagging voice. And that nagging voice that you're hearing is probably not the voice of God. This voice is probably telling you that you're not qualified, that you're not articulate, that you don't know your Bible well enough, that this job Aaron says you got to do is not a job you are capable of doing. And I am telling you, it is not the voice of God that has a vested interest in keeping you quiet. The voice of God tells you to speak, to share, to go tell it on a mountain, to make sure the whole world hears. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to share your story. Not my story, not that testimony I shared earlier. Your story. What have you seen? What have you heard? What have you experienced? How has God changed you? Now, it doesn't have to be everything. It probably shouldn't be everything. You probably shouldn't go call up your neighbor on FaceTime and say, sit down for the next 45 minutes because I got to tell you everything that's ever happened to me. That's not going to be effective. You probably don't need to share the whole history of your life with everyone right away. But if you take some time to reflect, and let's be honest, this week we have nothing, if not plenty of time to reflect, I want you to ask yourself this question. How is God moving in my life this week? How is God moving in my life during this storm? And if you ask those questions, you're going to come up with an answer that demands to be shared. And to start with, you don't have to share any more than that. Not at first, anyway. But God gave you a life and a story with the power to change the world. He made you be alive during this time to experience it because he knows your story can change the world. All I want to do is let those stories out and let God do with them what he will. You know, I'm an optimistic guy by nature. At least I like to think I am. Earlier this week, I was talking with Pastor Brian and Ashley, and I said that we needed to start thinking about what an online-only membership class would look like because I was convinced, and I am convinced right now, that while our buildings are closed, our church will continue to grow. Let me say that again because I believe it, and I know that you have a role to play in this. While our buildings are closed, our church will continue to grow. And how does that happen? It happens when each of us takes the step to share our stories, to be a witness to the transforming power of God. And when you invite someone to be a part of what you are already a part of, and I wonder if you realize what an opportunity we have right now to witness to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. You know how usually when you invite someone to church, it's this big hassle, like they have to cram church into their busy schedules. They have to wake up on Sunday morning and put on pants. They have to deal with driving over here and dealing with an unfamiliar environment. Let's be honest, if you were not convinced about Jesus, coming to church would just feel like a lot of work. But for right now, and for just right now, all of that's gone. No one has a busy schedule. No one has to deal with this unfamiliar environment. To attend Clay Church right now, you can stay in your pajamas. It's possible that there has never been a better time or space or way for you to invite someone you know into fellowship with your congregation, and that's our Five for Faith challenge for you this week. This week, we are committing to making 5 invitations each day to help others walk closer with Jesus. 5 times each day, tell someone about what God's doing in your life and how they can be a part of it. If you know a family with bored kids at home, invite them to join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. for special kids programming from our FaithWorks team. Invite your friends and neighbors to live stream your favorite Sunday morning service with you. Invite them to our virtual Wednesday night Bible study or a virtual Thursday afternoon prayer session. Do you know someone who's anxious to help and ready to give back? Tell them that our food pantry is committed to remaining open and feeding anyone and everyone that we can. Tell them we're packing bags and delivering groceries to the elderly. Help us connect more people who need help with more people who can help, especially now, especially right now. The world needs your witness, your story, and your invitation. Will you join me in finding any way and every way to share it? Let's pray. God, you've given each of us a story. Now give us the words to share those stories. God, you've given each of us opportunities. Now give us the courage to seize them. God, you've given each of us a network of friends and neighbors. Now help us to reach into those networks with good news. We are here, Lord. Send us. We are your ambassadors, equipped with a message of reconciliation for the whole world. Make us the ones who will share it. All these things in your name. Amen.